Now, though, on Radio 3, time for this week's early music show, Lucy Skeeping, with highlights from the International Young Artists Competition at the York Early Music Festival.
It feels great to play in the UK to such a warm and welcoming audience. It was an experience not to forget.
The other participants are really friendly and supportive. We listen to each other and we give ourselves feedback. It's really, really great.
It would be nice if we could get a prize, but on the other hand, it's just awesome to be here.
It must be in tune, it must be well done, rhythm must be good, and we need the global empathy with them.
This is a tremendously exciting competition. The level is very, very high. The field is very varied. There's everything that today we call historically informed performance practice. It's very exciting to see how global the movement has become.
Super pleased to be here and such a beautiful place making music for such an appreciative audience. Best of luck to all the competitors.
Competitors and members of the jury of the 2015 York Early Music International Young Artists Competition, which took place 2 weeks ago on a beautifully sunny day at the National Centre for Early Music. The biennial competition is a highlight of the York Early Music Festival, and each of the 10 ensembles played their 20-minute programme to an enthusiastic packed house. Up for grabs were a number of awards from the EUBO Development Trust, Cambridge Early Music Festival and the Friends of York Early Music Festival, as well, of course, as the overall much-coveted prize of the day. So we've a packed programme for you with lots of highlights from the competition, although sadly not quite time to hear from everyone who took part. Delma Tomlin, director of the National Centre for Early Music, told us how it all began.
The competition started in the 1980s and then moved to York about 10 years after that, very much so that we could invite artists to enjoy the festival as well as just come for a competition, because it's pretty tough to just roll up, play, disappear again. So the fact that it's in York gives them a chance to meet the audience and start to relax, because at the end of the day, of course, the competition is absolutely vital to them. The criteria is very carefully written out, actually. There's an average age of 32, so obviously some will be older, some younger. They obviously have to be interested and playing in a sensible early music, historically informed style, so the medieval, Renaissance, Baroque, classical music, and on the sort of instruments that we think are normal, if you like, in that regard. They have to be playing repertory that is sustainable. Although it's exciting perhaps to edit something, especially for a particular occasion, actually if that's the only piece you can play, you can't carry on, that doesn't make a career. It's about them on stage relating to the audience, really, because you need, with performers, of course, to get some of the rapport going with the people who are going to listen, because they, at the end of the day, are going to buy tickets, but only if you smile at them, really, and engage with them, and the performance generally is entertaining as well as beautifully played. Thank you.
The young Polish ensemble Il Giorno Felice, who got together just a couple of years ago as students at the Academy of Music in Krakow. They were performing Andrea Falconieri's Follies e Caparmi Signora Doña Tarolilla de Carolinos, a piece based on the popular Spanish dance, the Folia. The competition is now a truly global event, with competitors coming from as far afield as the USA, as do our next artists, the bass viol duo Les Touches. They call their programme Cosmopolitan Artifacts, and in a moment we're going to hear one of the pieces they played, Le Sixième Sonata by Joseph Baudin de Boismortier, an innovative and prolific French composer whose career took off in Paris after he secured a royal privilege as an engraver and began publishing his music. But first, a word from the two members of the group, Pedro Funes and Stephanie Raby.
We met at Indiana University and had been asked to do a concert by a friend, so we started playing together on viols.
We usually do about 4 concerts a year, so we try to put together a season and we gig around together in Texas. She lives in Austin and I live in Houston, so it's 3 hours apart to rehearse things together, but we managed to get things done. This is a great opportunity to introduce your ensemble to international stage. People know, oh, there's something in Texas, because no one really thinks about the States as early music scene.
Thank you.
the final movement of the Sixième Sonata by Joseph Baudin de Boismortier, performed at the York International Young Artists Competition by Les Touches, an ensemble who not only perform recitals together, but have started outreach projects in local schools in Houston in a mission to share their passion for the viol. Now from Houston to Burgundy and the Salazzo Ensemble, whose programme was based around the fascinating lives of two blind fiddlers who came to the court of Burgundy from the Iberian Peninsula. Their music had a powerful effect on the composers Dufay and Binchois, an encounter that was recorded by Martin Lefranc in his epic poem Le Champion des Dames. "The shame-faced Binchois I have seen," he wrote, "silent before their rebeck tones, and frowning Dufay in spleen, since no such melody he owns." As you'll hear, the Salazzo Ensemble, who met at the Scuola Cantorum Basiliensis in Basel, features two sopranos, a tenor and a harpist, but at their heart lie two 21st century medieval fiddlers, the sisters Sofia and Anna Danilevskaya.
We are playing together since a year now. We started to play together because our director, Pedro Memerstoff, asked us to illustrate some conferences in the school. First, we were playing only 5 bars maximum, and at some point we wanted to play more, and that's how we started Salazzo. Today we performed a program about Jean Fernandez and Jean de Cordeval, and they were two fiddle players. They catched our attention because they were the first really important soloist for our instrument. We tried to reconstruct what was their repertory, and that's how this program came alive. Thank you.
Alexander Agricola's Ave Ancilla Trinitatis. And before that, a little taste of an anonymous 15th century prayer setting performed by the Solazzo Ensemble at the International Young Artists Competition. So with such a varied array of talent on offer, just what is it that the five illustrious members of the jury are looking out for? We spoke to two of them, record producer and chair of the jury, Philip Hobbs, and violinist and festival advisor, Kati Debretzeni.
First of all, we're looking for musical excellence and a group that is convincing and convinced in their performance. We're also looking for an ensemble that's viable, so we hope that the ensemble who's winning here is going to be an ensemble in 10 years' time as well. And we're looking for how viable for that ensemble it is to enter the early music field, how attractive they would be for promoters. First of all, it's the music. But obviously, because it's a very competitive field and because of the global crisis, the field is shrinking and shrinking. The ensemble who wins here has to be able to compete. But the thing is about young ensembles nowadays is that they're all very shrewd in social media, in publicity, etc., etc. So I don't think that's a problem there.
10 years ago, so much of it was about whether things were sort of authentically correct and everything else. That's now such sort of established position that it's very much more about how much actual performance is embodied in what's going on. And what we've seen this time is that people are really sort of taking the music and making it live in a way that I think even 10 years ago would have been very unusual. Most of the members of the sort of the European early music associations are all here just to do a bit of talent spotting as well. So I think that gives you some indication of just how important it now is.
Early music is at the cusp now. The generation that's explored and formed the movement are now at an age where they are one by one getting to the other side of their performing life. They are getting to be the greats, the grand dames and the great gentlemen. What's needed now is for the young people to come and present yet another facet of what early music can be. And it's very exciting because there are still unexplored composers, there are still unexplored styles of music, and the historical movement at the moment is going also very much forward, well into the 19th century. All that is for the younger generation to take forward.
Philip Hobbs and Kati Debretzeni with a view from the jury. Now, as Kati mentioned, the scope of the competition in terms of repertoire has recently been expanded to include historically informed performances of 19th century music. The American duo Diapason presented a cello and fortepiano programme entitled A Viennese Portrait, which included works by Mozart's youngest son, Franz Xaver Wolfgang, and an adaptation of a prelude from the Well-Tempered Clavier by Ignaz Moscheles, which dates from his activities in Vienna in the 1810s. Another group who also ventured into this slightly later period was the London-based Consonne Quartet. Their aim is to recreate the classical sound worlds of Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven and Schubert through period instrument performance. And at the competition, they played Haydn's Sturm und Drang string quartet in F minor, opus 20, number 5. We're going to hear the third and fourth movements.
Thank you.
The final two movements of Haydn's String Quartet in F minor, Opus 20, number 5, performed by the Cunzone Quartet at the National Centre for Early Music, where they successfully battled with the humidity as the increasingly warm afternoon threatened to cause havoc with everyone's tuning. The Cunzone Quartet weren't the only group to present a single work. Royal Baroque on strings, harpsichord and recorder played Telemann's Quartet No. 6 in E minor in full. But most chose to present a selection of pieces, as did the Austrian group Ensemble Encore. They called their programme O Rosa Bella, which spanned 200 years of compositions, settings of poems which portrayed contrasting aspects of love. There were 9 short pieces in all, and we're going to hear one of them now, Clemens Nonpapa's Frisk et Galliard. Ensemble Encore performing a song on the theme of love as part of their programme O Rosa Bella. Clemens Nonpapa's Frisk et Galliard. Now, as well as the main prize of the day and the awards from the EUBO Development Trust, Cambridge Early Music Festival and the Friends of the York Early Music Festival, there was a special opportunity up for grabs this year. A place on the first year of the Emerging European Ensembles programme. Jury member Daniel Bizeret, who is currently the director of the Centre Culturel de Rencontre d'Ambronay, told us more about it.
The Emerging European Ensembles, it's a programme helped by Creative Europe, the Commission European Union. And this is to help young ensembles at the beginning of their career being welcome in different cities. So our partners are Riga, Ljubljana, Bucharest, Göttingen, Pavia, York, Strasbourg, and Ambronay, where I come from. And all together, we help them in trainings, could be administration, marketing, or music, or any cultural topic they would like to know better. Then we give them the possibility of dissemination of their program. And finally, they can have a record in our own record company.
Judge Daniel Bizeret. Now we're going to hear a performance by the largest ensemble to take part in the competition, whose 14 members only just managed to squeeze onto the stage at the National Centre for Early Music.
We are the Amsterdam Choral Collective. We are a group which was formed at the Conservatory of Amsterdam. We wanted to play some big string repertoire. That's why we came together and it sort of got out of hand. And now we're playing here at the competition. We like to connect the concerto grosso genre with other pieces in the big repertoire. Locatelli is a concerto grosso and he was a former student of Corelli. We think that the development into the sinfonia is a big string or orchestral genre that concerto grosso certainly played a part in the formation of that. We want to show the past but also the future where it's going to.
Locatelli's Concerto Grosso in E-flat major, opus 4, number 10, performed by the Amsterdam Corelli Collective, part of their programme entitled Lighting a Candle, Casting a Shadow, in which they explored the connections between the Concerto Grosso and the symphony. There were lots of other creative explorations on the competition day. The Scroll Ensemble, also from the Netherlands, created a programme built entirely out of improvisations on the works of J.S. Bach. And the German ensemble, Nexus Baroque, also offered the audience new ways of looking at early music with their programme of works by Italian and Welsh composers. Let's hear them now in Tarquinio Merula's Sonata No. 4, La Treccia.
Thank you.
Tarquinio Merula's Sonata No. 4, La Treccia, performed in York by Nexus Baroque at the 2015 International Young Artists Competition. Now, as you can imagine, with 10 groups having taken part across the day, the jury had to retire to deliberate for some time. But at least that gave the audience a chance for one last cup of tea, or in some cases a much-needed glass of wine, as they mulled over their own favourites to win the top prize.
Solazzo.
Solazzo for me too, yes.
It's out of Consone, Solazzo and Nexus Baroque.
The Amsterdam Coeli Collective.
Nexus Baroque of Germany were extremely good.
The Scroll Ensemble.
We just came here right from the Yorkshire Dales and tried
to get lost tickets, but we enjoyed it very much.
As a standard and as an indication of the health of early music, unbelievably good.
I find myself crying with delight and amazement in the performances.
Audience members on their favourites, but who really did scoop the prizes? The Solazzo Ensemble took the prizes awarded by the Friends of York Early Music Festival and Cambridge Early Music Festival. The EUBO Development Trust Prize went to the Consone Quartet, who also shared the E-Merging Project Prize with Nexus Baroque. But who took the top prize of the day? Chair of the jury, Philip Hobbs, announced the winner.
The international prize for today is to the Solazzo Ensemble. Well done.
Overwhelming. We didn't expect that at all.
To imagine to be here with such fabulous colleagues is already gratifying enough, and then to win these prizes is more than you could hope for.
So a hard-fought battle, but congratulations to all of them. I certainly look forward to bringing you the highlights of the next competition, but for now, let's hear more from this year's overall winners, the Solazzo Ensemble.
Sarà, 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 s
Le Grand Désir des Mémis Tientes by Loiset Compère, performed there by the winners of the 2015 York Early Music Festival International Young Artists Competition, the Solazzo Ensemble. And you can see the full performances of all the competition participants on the festival's website. This week's Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Ruth Thompson. And the programme has a break through August, whilst our schedule changes a little for the prom season. But Lucy will be back in early September with a profile of the Portuguese composer Duarte Lobo.